Morning. How are you all doing? Good stuff. So just for those, just obviously those who came to Family Camp and were with us, we had an amazing, wonderful time. And we had Greg and Michelle with us, who ordained Kevin and Trish. And so just so you know, Kevin and Trish are now part of the pastoral team, elders, and so now their work is really cut out for them, as if they hadn't been doing this before, but anyway. Good. So this morning, you know, just listening to what we were worshipping and saying and preaching and going through, I'm so happy that we are doing this series. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we know it'll come to an end eventually, I promise you. But for right now, this is where we are, and we want to give all the glory to Him. So turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 1. And more so by reading some of the scriptures we're going to read, I hope you get the heart of it without me having to tell you and explain it to you, so you will see, oh right, I get this thing. So this morning what I want to speak on is Jesus, my Lord and Master. Jesus, my Lord and Master. Because sometimes we get into a place, and a part of what I'm hoping to do, and as we've been moving along and preaching on New Covenant, God's grace, His grace towards us, and then Greg and Michelle came in and they blew into our sails wonderfully, helping to gain another yardage in the game of football. As you know, every yard counts. Heard me say that. And so it was just wonderful for them coming in, sight unseen, and just picking up in the Spirit and delivering what they did to us. And I think they'll be up on the website. So if you didn't manage to come out, I encourage you, go to the website and listen to the messages. Listen to the prophetic words. And what was amazing, I'm not going to take too much time trying to explain all this. But you know, when we have people with a prophetic gift come into the church, I deliberately do not sit and discuss the church and where it's at with them. Because we are receiving a prophet into the church, then hey, be a prophet. You know, we receive their gift, we receive their the favor and blessing and the gift that they are. So when a guy like Mark and Michelle comes in, I don't sit down and say, oh, well, Mark said this and Michelle said that and this said that. And that. I'm stum. I keep quiet. And then after they've ministered, and when they've downloaded what God has for us, then I'll say, oh, you confirmed this, you said this, this, this. And it's an encouragement to them, and it's a huge encouragement to us. And part and parcel of what Michelle and Greg were talking about was new season. And I said, wow. And then afterwards we sat down and we showed them the words that Mike had spoken over this church about a new season. You know, we don't think that new season is like January, February, March. Okay, we're out of the season now. You know, Israelites' journey was 40 years for their season. So who we know? We don't know right now. So we're just taking it and we're just fleshing it out and living it. Anyway, Romans chapter 1. So let's read some scriptures. Romans chapter 1. So there they are. 1 I haven't got it there. I don't know what happened. 4. It should be 4 and 7, not 7 and 8. Okay, anyway. Read 4. And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 7. To those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over to, I missed this, I see what I did. Okay, doesn't matter, just listen to me, don't worry about those. Go to chapter 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sins. Verse 24. But for ours also, it will be counted to us who believe to him who raised him from the dead, Jesus, our Thank you. Lord, you can say this with me. It's okay. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go right over to chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing the riches on all who call on him. So by now, you get the thought, the thinking, that Jesus is Lord. Now you say, well, that's great, Mark, we know that. That's like really important to us and for us to understand it. But sometimes our thinking doesn't go there. Because I hope to expose what that means when we say Jesus is Lord. Because it also means Jesus is Master. When it also means that Jesus owns me. Oh, no, no, no. You're going too far now, Mark. You're going too far. Don't go there because that's not fun anymore. That was upsetting. Well, when we understand and we declare His Lordship over our life, and we walk in that, and we change our mind about it, it will talk about our relationship with Him, and our understanding of who Jesus really is in relationship to us. Secondly, it will be a firm, bold declaration of who Jesus is. Not only to us, but who He is. We know that the Scriptures tell us, and people declare it, but are we living it in our life? Is our mind changed? We know that we know Him as Savior because that's the first thing we learn, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He died for me. He rose again for me. He did all that stuff for me. But then we take a little bit step further and we say, but Jesus is my Lord. Well, hopefully we can understand that a little bit. We see that David says in Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord says to my Lord, the Lord God says to my Lord, Messiah, it's a futuristic prophecy, go and read it, Psalm 110 from verse 1, says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Mary said in John 20 verse 13, they have taken away my Lord. Didn't say they've taken away Jesus, they have taken away so-and-so, they take away the Messiah. They've taken away my Lord. There's a deeper revelation that's going on there. Thomas in John 20, 28 says, my Lord and my God. Remember they're in the upper room and Jesus walks through the wall? I know you're looking at me like I've lost my mind. Now go and read the Scriptures. He appears in the room and he says, doubting Thomas, what's your problem? He says, stick your finger in my hands and in my feet and in my side. And you'll see, and Thomas declares, my Lord and my God. It's a double deity. And we just read a black and white paper, but if we go and study it, we'll see that he is saying something that the Jewish people, in essence, didn't really believe. And that's why they crucified him. Because he's not only saying, you're the Messiah, he's saying, you are the Lord, you are the Kurios, and you are God. A double deity to him with the revelation that came down to him. And then we see that Paul says in Philippians 3:8, and he's talking about, I count everything nothing, the surpassing power of knowledge, Christ Jesus, my Lord. And we see these are declarations that they make, and it's wonderful that we read them in Scripture, it's wonderful that we have this to gain knowledge from and to learn from and get a revelation from, but it's so much better if we, in full understanding of it, are able to say, Jesus, my Lord, and call Him Lord, not because we do it by rote, and not because we do it because it's in a prayer book, not because we do it it's in a hymn book, or not because it's even in the Bible, but because we have a revelation that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and my Lord and my Master. This morning, as we're sitting here, probably some of you are thinking, well, Jesus is this to me, He's that to me, He's this to me, that. I'm not so sure if He's my Lord and Master. I hope by the end of this morning that He will be your Lord and your Master. And that we will imbibe everything that means. Jesus is Lord. word is kurios, taken out of the word kuros, which means power. Not as in dunamis, which is a dynamite thing, but kuros, as in the power of authority and understanding. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has all authority. Not some, not a little bit, not possibly some. Oh, he can't have all the authority. No, he has. He declares it. It's one of his I am things. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. That's us. We are vessels for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. He is not just Lord. He is more than that. He is Lord Almighty. He is all the power, all authority given to him. Jesus, my Lord, when we acknowledge his lordship, when we come into it, we understand that we look at scripture and we see Jesus taught his disciples this. How so? I'll tell you. John 13:13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Yeah, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the bread of life, I am, his great I am declarations. Well, he also says, I am the teacher, and I am the Lord, and I am your Lord. And this morning, I was thinking about, you know, whenever I preach, I always talk about our, because it's all inclusive, it's not me separated, because some people could read it that way. Well, what about you, Mark? Well, yeah, but I've said yours today because I want us to separate the corporateness of us and get down to the personal heart of it. So when we say my, we could say our Lord, but then that's all nice wishy-washy, and some of us can slip away in the cracks. But when I say my, and we need to declare my, and I say yours, then it becomes very personal. So don't shoot me for it. There it is. Jesus taught his disciples, John 13:13. Secondly, you see, Peter at Pentecost proclaimed Jesus as Lord. Acts 2:36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Can you imagine being one of those people standing there and Peter standing up at Pentecost, and they've had the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the earth, and they've been filled, and they've come out and they've been speaking in other languages and tongues, and the Medes and the Persians, everybody's there standing. These men are drunk, and Peter says, no, they're not, and this is the reason why, and blah, blah, blah. And then he says, oh, by the way, the one that God made Lord, he's the one you guys crucified or shouted for him. You remember when he rode in? Hail the King! Hail the King! On his donkey. Went into the gates, went into the temple, turned things up, whipped them, and they said, who's this King? And then they got annoyed and they said, crucify him. 3 days. So when you're feeling really grand and popular amongst people some days, and other days you're feeling like, woo! Nobody loves me, everybody hates me, going down the garden to eat worms, that kind of thing. Just remember, hail the King, who's the King? Crucify him. When he was at Cornelius' house and he's speaking to the Gentiles in Acts 10:36, he says, as for the world that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Paul proclaimed Jesus as Lord by virtue of his death and resurrection, Romans 14:9. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. What? He is Lord of all, as the old saying goes, or he's Lord not at all. We can't have it both ways. We glory in his grace and the benefits and the favor that has been bestowed upon us, the imputed righteousness of God's love and his grace to us. And then he says, I want you to do this for me. And you go, oh no, hold on now. I'm my own boss still. You can't tell me what to do, God. You're very quiet this morning. This is not meant to be heavy. This is meant to be revelatory and exciting. Jesus is my Lord. I have a master, a Lord and master. Well, we got out of the law thing, Mark, and now we're into grace. Now you just do what we like. No. Now that grace abounds to us, should we carry on sinning? Paul says, no. And I think if we could expand it and not put it into nice language, I think Paul would say, are you an idiot? Have you lost your mind? That they would actually now think, well, now because we're under grace, yay, freedom, we can just go and we can run and we can jump and we can swim and fight crocodiles. I don't know where that came from, but anyway, it works because you're paying attention. Are you crazy? You'll lose your arm or more. Okay, moving along. And then finally to the Christians, Jesus, my Lord and Master, 1 Corinthians 8:6. For us there is one God, the Father from whom all things and from whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. Ephesians 4:5. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you remember when we spoke about, the last couple of sermons, I've used the team analogy. Are we playing football or hockey or something? Some of you remember. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's okay. So I decided in this message here, I'm going to use the same analogy, and we're going to call it God's grace team. So we're on God's grace team. And we have the same strip. And we have it, and I picture this. And the guys have got, he's got the same hockey stick as everyone's got. He's got the same skating boots. He's got the same pants and the shirt, and he's got everything. He's got his number on. He's got his, what color should we be?
Blue.
We're blue. Okay, orange. Okay, we're blue and orange. Okay, I know it's just because you're Dutch. That's why. I get that. And so we got our blue and orange, and we're on the ice. And the ref throws the puck down, and the team goes, shoo, and you're like, Coach, what's he doing? I don't know. He looks like he's on our team. He's saved. Jesus is Savior. He's on our team with us. I don't think he gets the Lord and Master part. I'm just going to do my own thing on the ice. Hey, you over there, get in the game. Jesus is Savior. He's Lord and Master. Get in the game. But we just like, I'm saved. I'm saved. No, come play with the team. You got the right gear. When we acknowledge Him as Lord and Master, means we have to rule out all other lords. We can't have divided loyalties. We can't have the lie, well, I'll be Lord this and then. Well, Mark, what other lords are there? I'm so glad you asked. Myself. We cannot be the Lord too. Either He is Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He is the self. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We have given ourselves to another. He gave Himself for us first. We've come under His covering. We come under His lordship. When the battle rages, we don't have to go and stand all by ourselves, because we have the captain of the hosts. He is the leader of this army. And so we go to Him and we say, General Jesus, what do? He says, it's okay, my boy, I got it. Oh? You mean I don't have to go out and do stuff? I got a sword. No, it's good. I got it, my boy. You just carry on. Love me. Acknowledge me. The second thing we have to not allow to rise up is my flesh. Oh, my own fleshly desires. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. You know, I don't want to say a lot of people are doing it, but I've heard people say the Bible is not prescriptive, it's only descriptive. Now we have to be careful when we discern the word, because some of the Bible is descriptive. Other times it's very prescriptive. And it says, do this, go there, do that, stand up, sit down, lie down, fall over, don't fall over, don't sit down, don't stand up. And we have to learn to divide the truth of God's word into, is this descriptive or this prescriptive? Now, legalists will want to say, no, everything's prescriptive, you just have to do everything. But we have to learn to divide the word and say, God, what does this mean to us? What did it mean then and what does it mean now? How does it apply in my life? My preferences. You know, I was teaching the musos the other night, and we were talking about some of the things about, so well, I want to drum like this, and I want to play like this, and I think we should do it like this. Now, in actual fact, the guy who normally stands here or where is leading, so we need to do what they say. Because the truth of the matter is, if you took Michael, Chris, myself, and Kevin, and we said, okay, don't work as a team, just lead. Well, four people are going to be disappointed. Because none of us are going to get it right. It's when we work in team, it works. But when in actual fact, one is leading, then we say, okay, well, you got the final decision. What is the Lord saying to you? Where are we going? How are we going? And of course, we want perspective. But if you all want everything to go your way, your preference, we're never going to get anywhere. We're never going to end. So sometimes, in a family, in your own family, you husband, wife, two kids, three kids, you get your own way all the time? Well, I know the husbands don't. And I also know the wives don't. That's when we give thanks. Yes, thank you, Chris. And I know certainly the kids don't get it right. I was forced to watch a movie this week. I said to one of my family members, who shall remain nameless, I normally choose the movies we're going to watch, you choose the movie. So I can say she, because it's just me and them two. And both of them are she. And so one of them chose the movie. So I'm sitting watching this thing, and in our family we have this thing of watching a movie, and you know, movies cost millions of dollars normally. And so I go, this is a $5 movie. This movie must have cost about $5. And as the movie progressively gets worse, we go like, okay, $3.50. $2. I went down to about 50 cents on this movie. But the funny thing is, the person who chose the movie was sitting there thinking, I wish someone will say something. This is terrible. And so we just sat there, I kept going. Yeah, coward. And afterwards, we all decided this was like a 50 cent budget movie. But anyway, it was just a little bit of fun. Yeah, I know. Started off okay until they got the dog to salute. I know, exactly. Anyway, so where did I get to? My preferences. We have to learn to make sacrifices for one another. Prefer one another. The world, Galatians 6:14. But far from it be from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Let me read that again. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And I know some denominations have taken that to such an extent of like, we don't mix with sinners. We don't have a TV because it's the evil eye of Satan watching us. We don't go to movies. Now you know I do. And there's a whole bunch of things we don't do. But there's a whole bunch of wisdom that we need to inculcate into who we are. We are aliens passing through. We are being separated, called out ones. We are meant to be different while we mix and while we handle and gather together. Good question to ask yourself. Is this thing in the world taking me away from God, or is it leading me to God? Now, I'm not your policeman. I just want to help you to understand Jesus, my Lord and my Master. Would my Lord and my Master be excited about me indulging in this kind of behavior? Well, when we get with the world, we've got to be like the world, and we've got to swear like the world so they can see we're normal. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And too many Christians subscribe to it. I'm like, what? I'm amazed. Jesus, my Lord and my Master. I know this is getting close to the bone. My brotherhood. And I know, certainly we are meant to submit to one another, because that's what the Bible says. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. But are we doing it out of fear of man or fear of God? We need to, and I say this, we, all of us, need to learn to fear God way more than fearing man. You want me to give you $1 million in this hand, or do you want to jump out of a burning building? Are you crazy? Just give me $1 million, I'll be happy. Wow, that's a tough decision. Jump out of a burning building. Hopefully Chris will be there. Oh, he's retired, yeah, sorry. I'll take $1 million. No, it's not. Shall I follow the world? Shall I follow God? Should I follow my own wishes and my desires? Or should I follow God's wishes and desires for me? Should I succumb to my flesh? Or should I succumb to the Spirit of God? Should I succumb to my brothers around me so they don't think I'm weird? Or should I submit to God's authority and His power and His lordship? I know what it's like. I was in business. I got saved. I used to be the fun guy at the fun party. Everybody wanted to invite me out for Friday drinks because I was the fun guy. And when you had me with you, you had fun. And then I got saved and I gave up drinking alcohol. And I went out to the guys one day, and they said, "Hey, Mark, we're going." I said, "Shh, I'm there. Order me a Coke, please." "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Nothing." "What's the Coke issue?" I said, "Well, I decided I don't need this kind of beverage anymore." "Why?" "Well, I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ." "Oh, okay. Next Friday." Me. "Where's everyone?" "I don't know. I think they've gone to the pub." Never got invited again, because now I wasn't the fun person anymore. I was now the fun police. And all I was doing was drinking Coke. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Susan. Okay, any other takers? It's on YouTube. Yeah, we'll go. There we go. When we think of Jesus as my Lord, do we allow to meditate, to ponder, to work on this? I know this might sound a little bit dry to you today, but hopefully it'll challenge you to change your thinking about who we see Jesus as. It's not a simple mental ascent. "Yeah, I know, okay, Jesus my Lord, yeah, I know that." It's also not by route, as I said earlier. You know, we just like, well, it's because it says it in the prayer book, and we just read the prayer, and then we go and... "No, Jesus my Lord." "Is Jesus?" "Yeah, no, Jesus my Lord." "How do you know He is your Lord?" I'm not too sure. We cannot have by simple ascent or route, "Well, oh, don't worry, Chris is thinking, no, I'll get into heaven because Susan's such a godly woman." No, it doesn't work like that. Sorry, Chris. We have to have a personal relationship with our Lord and our Master. I came up with this little analogy, dream salvation. I was just thinking how some people get saved, and that's why we get this. I know Jesus is my Savior. I know He is my Lord and Master. Because some people get saved through desperation. They have this desperate need at this point in time. And so they go, okay, I'll just accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how many times I've said some people have walked the aisle, shaken the preacher's hand, prayed the prayer, but never had a change of heart? If I could be so bold as to say you weren't saved, you just said a prayer. I can say a prayer too. Lord Jesus, give me $1 million. Yeah, doesn't happen. You know? So there's the desperate ones. Then there's the E, which is emotional. And the preacher will preach such a prayer that you will come under such conviction and guilt and fear because you don't want to go to hell. And you run and you kneel and you cry. And then you go to work on Monday and the emotion is over, the feeling is over, the stress is over, and you carry on behaving like the same person you were before you walked in. Because your emotional heartstrings are pulled and thing, and some people do get saved that way. I got saved that way. I was a 14-year-old. I ran from the back of a camp meeting to the front, and everyone left me, and I just lay there for half an hour and cried out to God. That's how I got saved. So I'm saying not everyone, you don't, can not get saved that way. You can. Does that sound good? Okay. Then there's the appeasement salvation. If I don't say yes and say the prayer, this person's just not going to leave me alone. I'm just, okay, all right. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Jesus Savior. Amen. Oh, wonderful, you're saved now. Okay. And you carry on, and you don't have a change of heart. And then there's the manipulation one. That's for the M. You get manipulated into the kingdom. Well, if you don't get saved, and what happens if you go out here and a car hits you and you run over, you get run over and you die and you're going to go to hell. Now that is a reality and that can happen, but it's manipulation. We have to learn salvation is through the love of Jesus Christ. And if you're paying attention, you'd now say, well, Mark, what about the R? You left the R out. I'm so glad you asked. That is when you get radically saved. When it's real. When it's righteous. When it's restoring. When it's restful. When it's reconciling to the Father. That's when you get saved. When you go, you pray a prayer and a godly sorrow comes upon you. And you don't have to always cry, but it's good to cry. Come on. And a godly sorrow comes upon you and you realize I am worth nothing. I am a sinner. And maybe not the full revelation of what Jesus Christ did for you upon the cross hits you, but you will get there because you earnestly seek God. And you know you are different because when the guy cuts you off in the car and you normally show him peace, you go, Lord, forgive him. And you just carry on. You don't freak out. You don't react the same way you do. You don't have the same anger tendencies that you do, used to have. You don't, I'm not saying you don't ever going to get angry, but I think you're hearing what I'm saying. There's been a radical change in your heart. There has been true salvation has come to this house today where you metanoia, where repentance has brought a changing of the way you think. You're not spiteful, you're not deceitful, you're full of integrity. You go and people look at you and go, wow, you've changed. You don't walk around, hey, check me, I've changed. We're going to deal with your pride and arrogance still. But there's something inside of you that's changed. And you hunger and thirst for the Word of God. And you hunger and thirst to be joined here. When we come together to pray. When we come together. You know, and again, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to manipulate. I'm just trying. If you missed Wednesday night, I'm sorry for you that you missed Wednesday night. And if you've missed the family camp, I'm sorry you missed it. These are Kairos moments in our life. Bridget and I have told you, when we used to leave this church on Sundays, because of course we couldn't just go to church on Sunday morning. We went Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday, Saturday. I mean, we went crazy about Jesus. And so we used to get into the car park. Of course it was like the Cummings family. It's the last car in the car park. Don't these people have a home to go to? And Bridget and I would get into the car park and we'd just sit there and all the cars would be gone and it would be just us. And genuinely we'd say, shall we just sit here till the evening service? Something had changed in our hearts. And we just wanted to be with God and God's people and connect and worship and pray and praise and radical salvation. Well, Bridget got saved before me after that, you know that. So, anyway, let me move on. Accepting Jesus as my Lord. I'm taking too long over this. Philippians 3:7. But for whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Starts off, but whatever gain. You know, modern day context, whatever. Now that's always negative. Whatever. Do whatever you want. Whatever. Are we going? Whatever. Well, now I want to put it into positive. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ Jesus. Whatever. Not something. Oh yeah, okay. I'm having fun. So what does that mean to us? It means such as there's a disdain for the things of the world. And we all lock ourselves up and go, no, we don't. And we just stand, then we come out and we sneak to church. No, we've got to be bold and get out there. But whatever things I had, I count but lost because there's a greater rich, a pearl of price that I have received. Such a thing as popularity and prestige and family. Oh, now you're touching sacred cows here, Mark. No, 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 no. For the sake of Jesus Christ. Willing to suffer loss of all these things. You know, when we left South Africa, we sold our home. The Lord told us to do that, so we did it. And we moved into a rental, and we were in a rental. And when we arrived in Canada, I was convinced in my heart, Bridget was sort of convinced now we would never ever own our own home again. Because if you know the rigmarole, well you don't because you're all Canadian, but to for us as an outlander to try and purchase a home is impossible. You have to have 35% of the value of the home. So, hello? But we own our own home. And you know how we own our own home? We said, Lord Jesus, if you want us to have this house, we need a miracle. Amen. And we left it alone. And then things just started to roll. And we forsook and gave up everything. Please don't hear. I hope you hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Sometimes these things, we can, you know the story about the baboon? Well, you don't. On an African farm, South African farm, the baboons come and they raid all the mealies, the corn. They steal the corn. So what the farmers do is they take find a big tree and they put a chain around and they take a big gourd like a pumpkin and they chain it and they make a little hole like this inside. And then the baboon can just get his hands inside to grab the pips. And then he closes his fist to pull his hand out. And he can't get his hand out. Then the farmer comes along and says, we cannot take hold of this until we let go of this. We can't play tug of war, you know, like the baboon. So I'm not going to say don't be baboons. Let go of the old. Move into the new. Did I just say that? Paul says he considers such things as rubbish. contrast to Jesus Christ his Lord. It involves a disdain for the things of the world. We need a consuming desire to know Jesus Christ. We can read Philippians 3, 8 to 11. To know him personally, to know his righteousness, to know his power, to know his sufferings. Just involves constantly pressing on towards a deeper relationship with him. Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, let go, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Last couple of points. We're not complacent in our service to Christ Jesus. We want to be on the ice with the stick. With the stick in our hand. I was like, stick's too simple. There's got to be the proper word. Stick. Hockey stick. We've got to be on the ice. We've got to be playing in the game. Lord G, you are my Lord Jesus, not just my Savior. Okay, the rest of you guys, you can skate there. I'm going to skate in this corner. Until someone comes and shoulder charges you, and then you go, wow, I'm in the game. Not satisfied with one's level of spiritual growth. Constantly pressing towards the goal. More of Christ. More of His love. More of His presence. More intimacy. Let me be filled up so much that it just pours out of me. Willing to leave the past behind. We spoke about that. Not glorying in past accomplishments. Well, you know, in 1912, I prayed for somebody and they got healed. Praise God, wonderful. How about 2012? How'd you do? Well, you know, when I was out on the mission field, you know, I could see the whites of their eyes. And we preached. Yeah, and they got saved. Okay, how about 2012? Not glorifying in past accomplishments. Wonderful. Shall I tell you what past accomplishments are there for? When you're feeling your faith is low, remember those times that Christ was merciful to you and brought you through stuff. And you go, yes, Lord. If you did it then, you can do it now. Not wallowing in past failures either. That's not helpful. It is reaching forward, pressing towards the goal. Jesus, my Lord, and my Master. And finally, we might acknowledge Him as Lord, or we might join in with others worshipping and praising Him as Lord. The question is, have we submitted to Him as Lord? Have we made a decision that He is Lord and Master of my life? And when I come to making decisions, I don't just willy-nilly make decisions. I go to my Lord and Master. When things buffet us. Kevin led us in worship. When things are tough and buffeting, are we like, oh, woe is me, or do I go to my Lord and Master? He already always will be your Savior. But we need to make the choice of making Him Lord, Kurios, and Master, and owner of our lives. That's a bit far now, Mark. Watch it now. Back off from that one. No, we are bought at a price. We have been sold. We have been redeemed from the curse by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, He owns us. As for me and my house, He is our Lord. Is that Stephen Harper? Tell him no. Pizza? Yes. Thank you, Michael. He is our Lord and Master. We walk in that, and we walk in His favor. We walk in His grace. We walk in His glory. We walk in His love. And all we need to do is declare it and believe it in our hearts and walk accordingly. So I just want to pray for you this morning. Let's just stand together. And we're going to go and have some good pie and coffee. If you've never really thought about Jesus as Lord and Master, but you know Him as your Savior, and you've never thought of Him as Lord and Master, today is a good day for you, in your heart, to change that, to change your thinking about it, to say to Him, Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross and being my Savior. But Lord, I want You to be Lord and Master of my life. So you do that in your hearts. I'm going to pray. Father God, we come to You this morning, Lord God. We thank You for Your word that is true, Lord. We thank You that You have declared that You are the Lord. Father God, that You made Jesus come to us, that You opened the way for us, that He came incarnate as man, and that You declared that He is Lord of all. And so, Father, we accept that today. We accept Jesus as Lord and Master. Help me to change my thinking about it. Help me to change my ways, Lord God. Father, let there be a renewal in my heart and in my mind of Jesus, my Lord and my Master. That we would be subservient to that. That we would, even as in this picture that's depicting this man bowed before the Lord, that we would in everything bow our knee to You, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.